Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here this morning. And of course, we're going to be doing things a little differently today. We're going to be having an extended worship service. And what that means is we'll start our worship service at the regular time, but it's just going to be a little longer than usual. And as such, the message will probably be a little shorter, but no guarantees there. We're just going to go ahead and move forward. I've actually already received a number of requests. I guess people were anxious for this. So we're going to pray, and then we'll dive right in. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy goodness. We thank thee for this honor and this privilege to be here in thy presence. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless this service, and we ask, Lord, that thou would draw us nigh unto thyself. Both those who are here in this building and those who are listening online, we ask and pray for a touch from thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would move upon us in a mighty way. Let thy spirit be upon all thy people. Help us, O God, fill us with a desire to worship thee in spirit and in truth, for we know that thou art seeking such to worship thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would inspire this entire service, that thou would lead this entire service and direct this entire service. We pray that each and everything we do here would be pleasing in thy sight, and we pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right, well, we will start with some of the requests I already have. I'm sure there will be more, but there's one that's actually very fitting to begin with, number 85 in the chorus book, Give Me Oil in My Lamp. So we're going to start right there, and this is from Rob, number 85. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. And give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. And give me oil in my lamp, I pray. And give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Praise the Lord. We have another request from Rob, number 168, I Believe God. Let's turn there right now. 168 in the chorus book. Mm-hmm.
I believe God, I believe God, that it will be just as He said. Trust and obey, believe and then say, I believe God. If you need salvation now, well, the Holy Ghost is here right now. Just trust and obey, believe and then say, I believe God. I believe God, that it will be just as He said. Trust and obey, believe Him and say, I believe God. If you need salvation now, well, the Holy Ghost is here right now. Just trust and obey. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. That it will be just as He said. Trust and obey. Believe Him and say, I believe God. If you need salvation now, well, the whole
another request here from Rob, number 180. Greater is He that is in me, number 180. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper. With a power greater than any before, I'm so glad I've got it to not let the world know. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater have some requests here from Carla L. We're going to do some of these right now. Let's turn to number 121 in our Melodies of Praise hymnal and sing Just Over in the Glory Land. 121. I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host of saints. Just over in the glory land, I am on my way to those mansions fair. Just over in the glory land, there is sing God's praise and your glory share. Just over in the glory land. And just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just God. And we have another request from Carla, number 148, When the Battle's Over. Let's turn there right now. When the Battle's Over, 148. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown. Well, I have some more requests up here, and we're going to get to those eventually, but does anybody out there have a request they'd like to do? If so, just raise your hand. Anybody? Anybody? Otherwise, I've got more here, so.
I do.
Okay.
Jewels?
Yes. Okay. Well, I know right where that is. That's at the end of the book. It's the second to last song in the Melodies of Praise hymnal. Okay. 340. When he cometh, when he cometh to make up his jewels, all the world's precious jewels, his love and his own, like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, he will shine in their beauty, his love and his own. He will gather the gems for his kingdom, all the pure ones, all the bright ones, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they will shine in their beauty, his love and his own. Little children who love their Redeemer, are the jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they will shine in their beauty, his love. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they will shine in their beauty, his love and his own. Praise the Anybody else? Otherwise, no pressure. Like I said, I've got plenty of requests here. Well, we'll do another one of those, and we'll just turn to number 196 and sing Tell It to Jesus. 196. We'll get it. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving? Overjoyed, departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus, he is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother, tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden, tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do
sorrow. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming, kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is the friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Praise God. Thank you.
Two sixteen. Great is thy faithfulness. Okay.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I see. thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings of thine with him and great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great
else. Well, I think Jane's bringing another one right now. 43? Certainly. 23, all right. Well, been a while since we've done this one. We'll give it a try.
Thank you.
Praise God. Well, I think maybe it's been close to 30 years since we've done that one. I remember it now as a child. That's how long ago it's been, so praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to do one of these other requests, and then we'll take another one from the congregation here. Oh, let's see what we've got yet. We're going to try a new song again. Why not? We just did one we hadn't sang in a while. We're going to try another one, and I've never sang this before, but Mom knows it, so we should be able to, we'll do the best we can, basically. It's number 197 in the Melodies of Praise Hymnal, Never Alone, and could you play it through once first before we start singing, just so we can kind of get the hang of the melody?
Promise never to leave me, never to leave me.
Praise God. Thank the Lord Jesus. Well, it's always fun to try these new songs, and I'm sure as we do that one again, we'll get better and better at it. But, you know, you never learn unless you try. So that's what we have to do. Is there another request out there? Okay, 108. Let's see what that one is. Hopefully I know it. I don't know them all. Just a warning. 108, It Is Mine. All right, I kind of remember that one. We'll give it a try. 108. Request here for number 72. I want that kind of blessing. So let's turn to number 72. When Jacob met the Lord upon that lonely night and wrestled there alone until the morning light, he won a princely title to gird him for the ride. I want that kind of blessing. I want that kind of blessing that saves and keeps and satisfies my soul. I want.
came into Canaan's land. The Lord is rich as grain, so full on every hand. They drove their foes before them and built a happy band. I want them lions. I want that full salvation, build billows of heaven or evil. This is the day of grace, the Comforter is here. We are a chosen race, our God is drawing near. He's waiting to be gracious, the prayer of faith in here. And then he'll send I want that kind of blessing that saves and keeps and satisfies the soul. I want that whole salvation till there was a heaven or before. I want that kind of blessing that saves and keeps and satisfies the soul.
And I know that everybody in this building already knows this, but just for the benefit of those who might be listening online, I just want to say that in that third verse, when it talks about being a chosen race, that has absolutely nothing to do with skin color. We know that God gathers his people from the north, south, east, west, from every corner of this earth. And there are black people in it, white people in it, Asian people, Hispanic people, every other race you can think of, Native Americans, Indians, from actual India. You know, that gets a little confusing sometimes. And yes, there's people from the Middle East, there's people from all over the world who are part of that chosen race, because God takes us from every corner of the earth and he makes us a new people, a whole new people. But I know things can get a little twisted in this world, so we just want to make sure that we're clear on what we're singing about. Praise the Lord. All right, well, we have more requests here. Let's sing number 237 in the hymnal, I've Anchored in Jesus. This is from Penny, 237. Upon life's boundless ocean, where mighty billows roll, I've fixed my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fears assail me and storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon his mercy and trust him more. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or rain. I've anchored in Jesus, for he has marked his name. I've anchored to the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessing peace. His voice has filled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My heart the storms of life are right. Well, I think what we're going to do now, we're going to take up the collection, and then we have a couple of prayer requests to take care of, and that'll give you all a little chance to rest your voice. And then we're going to finish up in the chorus book because we have some more requests to do here, and then we will open our Bibles. All right, Chuck, could you help us with the collection, please? Thank you, sir. Praise God. This is actually pretty fun. I hope you're all having a good time. You know, getting a chance to sing some songs we haven't sang in a very long time, and some we sang never. But, you know, it's good to sing some new songs. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank you this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us. We thank thee for thy mercy towards us and for all that thou hast done. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast given us this place where we can come together, where we can gather in thy name, where we can worship thee. And we marvel at thy goodness and how thou hast kept us for so many years and for these decades even. We marvel and we are in awe of thee. Help us to always be grateful. Impart to us thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for the cause of thy holy and mighty name. And we pray, Lord, that thou would bless the givers here this day and also bless those who are unable to give. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Oh. I guess I'm going to need to do that too. Forgot to put on the mic upstairs. It's fine, no, because we've just been doing the song service, so it'll be all right. We're still broadcasting online, but can you hear me now? Okay, good. Praise the Lord. Okay, we have a couple of prayer requests to take care of. We're going to pray for Carol. I got a message from Ellie yesterday. Carol is not doing real well right now. She's apparently bedridden and quite sick, so we're going to pray for her and ask the Lord to touch her and heal her and strengthen her. And we're going to pray for Jane. I know she's been having seizures, and I believe she said she had one again this morning. And of course, that's hard to deal with. And then we're also going to pray for Rob and Tori and their son Chris and his fiance and their baby Everly and Gabby and Rob and Tori's daughter, Gabby, and her boyfriend. I know that Gabby's boyfriend recently came down with COVID, so we're just going to pray that God's hand will, protecting hand will be all over that family and protect them from disease and illness. All right, let's pray for Carol first. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day on behalf of Carol. We ask, Lord, that thou would be merciful to her. We pray, Lord, that thou would touch her. We ask, Lord, that thou would strengthen her by thy mighty hand. Reach down from heaven, we pray. Move in a mighty way, for we know that she needs thee so very much. We know that she's been greatly weakened by her condition, but we ask, Lord, for a healing touch. We pray, Lord, that thou would even touch her kidneys, Lord, and give her great strength. We pray, Lord, that thou would give her great clarity of mind. We pray, Lord, that thou would comfort her spirit and comfort her soul. We pray, Lord, that she would feel thy presence even now and right now as we lift her up before thee. Touch her, we pray, Lord, and we ask, O God, that thou would move upon her right now in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also bring Jane before thee. We pray, Lord, that whatever is causing these seizures would stop, that they would cease and desist. We ask, Lord, for a miracle from thee. We pray, Lord, that all would be made well. We ask, O God, that thou would move upon her right now. Help her to reach out to thee in faith, believing on thy ability to save and to heal. We pray, Lord, that thou would guide the doctors that she is working with, that thou would give them wisdom so that they are able to figure out what is causing this problem. Touch her in a mighty way, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Father in heaven, we also pray for Rob and Tori and Chris, his fiance, their baby Everly. We pray for Gabby and her boyfriend. We ask, Lord, that thou would be with this entire family. We ask, Lord, that thou would watch over them. We pray that illness would not befall them. We ask, Lord, that thou would strengthen them by thy mighty hand. And we pray for Gabby's boyfriend, that thou would heal him of this disease right now. We pray, Lord, that thou would touch him. And we ask, Lord, that he would reach out to thee in faith and believe in thy healing power. Talk to his soul, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. I do have some good news to report. As you might recall, I mentioned that my Aunt Sharon, up in Clintonville, she actually still lives in my dad's childhood home. But anyway, she recently came down with COVID. Thankfully, it was a mild case. I got a letter from her yesterday. She said she's pretty much over it. She went back to work. Her taste buds are still a little off, and she feels a little weaker than she had before, but she's getting better and stronger every day, and obviously the worst of it is over, and if she's able to work again, that's wonderful. So praise the Lord for that. And, you know, I've known a lot of people who've had COVID now, and the Lord has helped so many people in so many ways, and I know that he's with us, and these are troubling times that we live in, but keep trusting the Lord. What else can we do? We have to trust the Lord. Praise God. Well, we have some more requests to take care of before we get into the Word. So we are going to turn to number... let's go to... Well, let me see what it is first. But we're going to be going to the course book here. Praise God. All right. Number 70 in the chorus book. And this is from Eljash. So, number 70, if you believe.
If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble the Lord cares, the good Lord can't be. Oh, he is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust him and believe. You must believe.
That's one of those choruses you could sing all day. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I guess even after everything we've sang today, people just want to keep going. Well, that's a good thing. It's good to worship the Lord. And we have another request here from Penny, number 131. What a day that will be. So let's turn there right now.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace.
Two more requests in the chorus book. We're going to do those. And then, Brian and Vicki, I have your request. We're going to do that after the study, so don't worry. I didn't forget about you. But we're going to turn to number 144 in the chorus book right now. We have come into this house. This is from Greg and Deb. 144.
We have come into this house and gathered in
to sing just one more before we open our Bibles this morning. This is a request from Deb. Number 30 in the chorus book, How Great Thou Art, number 30.
Mm-hmm.
15 minutes, but we had a lot of requests, so I know you must have been enjoying it. Praise the Lord. We are going to open our Bibles now. We still have a little time for that, thank God. And you know, it's good to worship the Lord. It's wonderful to do that. We need to do that. And it's refreshing to get in the presence of the Lord. I firmly and fully believe that He is right here with us right now. You know, we sang that song earlier, Never Alone. He promised never to leave us alone. And that's so true. He said, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. You know, that was one of the last things Jesus told His disciples before He left this world and ascended into heaven. Now, of course, we know that He's still in this world, but He's in this world in the form of a spirit. He gives us that spirit, the precious Holy Ghost. But we can be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. That's why I'm titling this message today, Present in the Presence of the Lord. Present in the Presence of the Lord. I will explain that title in just a moment, but before we do that, I'm going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy precious word, and we thank thee for thy promises. We thank thee for thy plan of salvation. We thank thee for thy gifts that thou hast bestowed upon thy people. We thank thee that we can look upon thy word and learn of thee and thy mercy and thy grace toward all thy people. We pray, Lord, that thou would help each and every one of us to reach out in faith. Let us be firmly focused on thee this morning. Let there be no hindrances here, but give us clarity of mind as we turn our attention and our focus to thee. We pray, Lord, that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that thou art sovereign. There is none greater than thee. Thou art almighty God, and there is no name greater than that mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 28 this morning. Genesis chapter 28. I'm calling this message Present in the Presence of the Lord. And the reason I'm doing that is because in order to really feel the presence of God, in order to really feel the Holy Ghost, His Spirit working in His people, you have to be in the present moment. And of course, we know that we live in a world that's filled with turmoil right now. And of course, we tend to look back with longing sometimes at the past because things seemed like they were so much better. And we know that the world is getting worse. The scriptures tell us that. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I think that's one of the reasons when we look back at things, it seemed like they were so much better. But you can't become too fixated on the past either. And so, in fact, some people, they feel such strong nostalgia that it actually becomes painful because you want to go back to something that you can never go back to. The past has happened, and that is done. And then other times, people tend to worry about the future, especially in these uncertain times that we live in right now. People wonder what's going to happen. They wonder about this pandemic. Will it ever end? But you know what? In order to truly worship God, you have to be in the present with Him. Turn your mind upon Him. Focus on Him. That's why this morning I don't want you to think about the past. I don't want you to think about the future. I don't want you to worry about COVID or anything China's doing or anything like that. I don't want you to worry about the economy. I don't want you to worry about inflation. I don't want you to even think about any of those things as we look upon God's Word here this morning. Think about Him. Be present with the Lord here today. Present in the presence of the Lord because He is here right now. And you could worry till the cows come home, but it's not going to do any good. Remember, the Lord is with us and we truly are never alone. That's why we're going to start in Genesis chapter 28 this morning. Now this tells the story of a man named Jacob. He was the son of Isaac and Rebekah, brother of Esau. And a lot, all of a sudden, was happening in his life. His mom had hatched a scheme for Jacob to take the blessing that would have been reserved for his brother Esau, Esau being slightly older. They were twins. Not identical, of course. Esau was a very hairy man. He had red hair, too. Esau means red, in case you didn't know that. Jacob was smooth, so they weren't identical twins, but Esau was a little older, and as such, he should have had the birthright. But one of the reasons God allowed Esau to lose that birthright was because he sold it to Jacob for a pot of porridge. He was hungry one day, thought he was going to die. Well, he didn't, and I don't think he would have. I'm sure there are plenty of other people around who could have helped him. He didn't have to sell his birthright. And because he did that, I believe that's why God allowed him to lose it. Now, they hatched a scheme. Isaac was old. He had lost his vision. He couldn't see. Rebekah loved Jacob more than Esau, so she wanted Jacob to get the blessing that would have been reserved for the firstborn. So she had him put on Esau's clothes, and she put animal skins all over him so he would feel hairy. And he went in and he brought meat to his father, Isaac, and claimed that he was his brother Esau. And as such, he received the blessing. And when Esau came in, there was nothing left really for him. He got a little blessing, but not what he would have gotten. And as such, Esau was furious with Jacob. In fact, his plan was, as soon as my dad dies, I'm going to kill my brother. That was his plan. And it's not one of those things where someone says, oh, I'm going to kill you, and not really mean it. I believe that Esau fully intended to kill his brother after his father passed away. But God would watch over him. Nevertheless, this would have been a very difficult time in his life. He didn't know what was going to happen exactly. And to make things even more uncertain, he had been told to go find a wife. Now that's stressful too. And in fact, he was on his way to go find a wife when this story begins here in Genesis chapter 28. He's doing two things really. He's fleeing from his brother, and he's also gone to find a wife. Chapter 28 in Genesis tells us, "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan." And there's a reason for that. The Canaanites were very wicked and evil people. And I know sometimes people get upset that God allowed the Israelites to go in and wipe out all these Canaanite tribes. They say, well, that's not fair. But to that I always say, well, people don't complain about the fact that the Nazis were wiped out. And they probably wouldn't complain too much if Al-Qaeda was knocked out, or ISIS, or the Taliban. These people were worse than all of them, the Canaanites. And that is why Isaac did not want his son to marry a Canaanite woman. Verse 2 tells us, "Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughter of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." You know, God made a promise to Abraham, and that promise was passed on to Isaac, Abraham's son, and Isaac passed it on to Jacob. Jacob knew of this promise, but even when you know the promises of God, sometimes you still struggle. We know God promised to be with us in this day and age, and sometimes we still struggle. Sometimes we struggle to believe that he will help us. We know that he can. I think we all know that. But knowing he can help you and believing that he will are two different things. He will help us if we truly ask and believe on him in all sincerity. He is able to deliver us one way or the other. And sometimes his way isn't the way we're expecting either. So, this promise was passed on. When God makes a promise, he keeps his promise. They were going to be a great people. Therefore, Jacob should have realized, my brother can't kill me, at least not before I've had children, because my family is going to continue and grow. Verse 5, "And Israel sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. You know, Esau, there is just something not right in his heart and in his mind and in his head. You know, he thought, well, my mom and dad don't like my wife. So what did he do? He went and got another one. Added another one on. Well, maybe this will fix it. It didn't. But I tell you what, you know, in the Old Testament, anytime you had a situation where a man had multiple wives, it always caused problems. Every time, and you can kind of see why. Because there'd be a lot of jealousy and rivalry going on. And you have to think that the man would be miserable with all of that fighting and squawking all the time. And yes, they did fight, and they did squawk. You can read all about it. It happened time and time again. God's ideal is one man, one woman. And it can't be a man and a man. It can't be a woman and a woman. No matter what they say over at the Lutheran church there. Verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Now, I would imagine he didn't put his head directly on these stones. I imagine he probably put something padded over them and used that as a pillow. But, you know, I can't help but imagine Jacob here so uncertain of everything that was about to happen. I'm sure that his mind was racing. It was probably going a million different places. He was probably thinking about everything that had just happened with his brother, with his mother, with his father. He was probably frightened and worried about what his brother might do to him if he ever found him. And at the same time, he probably had anxiety thinking about the future. Here he was going to try to find a wife. He didn't know what his wife would be like. He didn't really know anything. There was so much uncertainty in his life. So I'm sure he was thinking about all sorts of things, thinking about the past and also thinking about the future. But what he didn't realize, right there in the present, God was with him. Right there in the moment, God was right there. You see, you could become so fixated on the past and on the future that you don't even perceive the presence of the Lord. We're going to see what happened here to Jacob as we continue on. Verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Oh, this must have been a marvelous dream. Have you ever had a dream from the Lord? There's nothing else like it. I've had a few. People might wonder, well, how do you know it was a dream from the Lord? Believe me, it's different. It's unlike any other dream that you'll ever have. Dreams are often kind of jarbled and mixed up and a mixture of what's happening in your mind and things that happened to you recently and the people you've encountered. In fact, it's been said, I'm not sure if this is true or not, but it's been said that every person you see in your dream is someone that you've encountered in real life. I don't know if that's true. It's just something I've heard. But dreams are usually pretty weird. I've had some weird ones, too. But the ones from the Lord were crystal clear. And often I struggle to remember my dreams, but when the Lord gives me a dream, I remember it, and it stays with me. It's different. You almost have to experience it to fully understand what I mean, and maybe you will. Because God does give people dreams. And here, He's giving one to Jacob. And it must have been a wondrous dream, because there he was in his dream. He saw a ladder. It reached to heaven. The angels of God were ascending and descending on it, showing that not only is God with us, but his angels are with us too. God, in this dream, literally opened heaven's door to Jacob so he could get a glimpse of this glory. Verse 13, and behold, the door stood above it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. You know, Abraham had been given a promise, and that promise had been passed on to Isaac. Jacob had heard of it, but now God himself was telling him of this promise. You are going to flourish. You are going to be fruitful. You are going to multiply. You're going to have a land, a beautiful land. All of these promises were given to God's people. And you know, that's still true for God's people today, except that beautiful land that we're given isn't here on this earth. We do have a promised land, and we will get there one day, but it is not on this earth. Verse 14, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And you know what? All families of the earth were blessed because Jesus Christ came forth from that seed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. When he makes a promise, he will keep it. He does what he says he will do every time. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. Watch this now. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. The Lord was there the entire time, but he didn't know it. I'm sure, like I said, I think his mind was probably going in a million different places, but he had to be there in the present to experience the presence of the Lord. He's always there with us. He's here right now. And when you leave here, he'll be with you. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it, which is something they would have done when they're anointing a new altar, pouring oil upon it, in case you're wondering why he did that. Verse 19, and he called the name of that place Beth-El, which means house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So here he is, suddenly cognizant of the fact that the Lord was right there with him, and he made this vow to the Lord. But that didn't happen and couldn't happen until that realization struck him. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He had to come to that realization, and surely the Lord is in this place right now. Now I want to turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and we're going to be starting with verse 21 this morning. Of course, this is a wonderful chapter. We don't have time to do the entire thing today, but Jesus had just healed a man that was infested with demons, the man of the Gadarenes. And here at this point, he just crossed back over the sea, and he was walking along. Someone came to him needing help. If you need help, the best thing you can do is go to the Lord Jesus. Mark 5, verse 21 tells us, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." That is great faith that Jairus had. And here he's petitioning the Lord Jesus. I know she'll live. I know she'll live, even if you come and touch her. Verse 24, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." There are a lot of people who were following Jesus. They thought, well, maybe we'll see a miracle here. They wanted to see what Jesus was going to do in the future for someone else. They wanted to see what he could do for someone else. But you know what? There was a woman who had had an issue of blood for 12 years. She had not stopped bleeding for 12 years. And she had this faith in her heart. She said, I want to see what Jesus Christ can do for me right now in the present. She wasn't curious about what he was going to do for someone else. She wanted to see what Jesus Christ could do for her. So there she was at that present time, in the presence of the Lord, with an expectation that a miracle was about to happen. Verse 25, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." That's actually relatable. That still can be a problem nowadays. Doctors might poke and prod you and try this treatment and that treatment, a variety of different things, and you don't get any better. That's because they are not little God men. They're doctors. They do the best they can, but sometimes they have trouble figuring things out, and quite often they have trouble figuring things out. But we know the one who knows all things. We know the one who made us. We know the one who can fix us. Verse 27, When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She knew Jesus was the one who could help her. She knew this was her moment. This was the moment she had been waiting for. This was the moment she had longed for. This was her opportunity to reach out and to touch the Lord. And she didn't know if she'd ever have another one. And you know what? We too can reach out and touch the Lord right now. We have that opportunity. We can be present in the presence of the Lord right now. We can reach out and touch him, because we don't know if we'll ever have another opportunity to do it. But thankfully you can right now. Those who are here in this building and those who are listening online, you can reach out to the Lord right now in this present moment. Now is your opportunity to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. Verse 28, "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Being a woman, she would have known immediately that she had been healed. And she was, because God is merciful. She reached out in faith in that present moment, and that made all the difference. She wasn't just curious about what he was going to do for others. She knew that God had something for her. She knew that Jesus had something for her. Everybody else was following. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Watching to see. But she took action. And because she was there with Jesus at that present moment, she received her miracle. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? There are people all over the place. There are people bumping into Jesus. And a lot of people will do that. They'll bump into Jesus and never take the time to get to know him. I tell you what, to get to know the Lord Jesus, you have to be present with him. In the presence. In the moment. Without looking to the future or looking to the past, you have to be with him in the present. That's how you get to know the Lord. That's how you can receive his miracles. Who touched me? And verse 32 tells us, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. You see, Jesus knows the difference between someone bumping into him as just a casual curiosity and when people reach out in faith. Because there is virtue that flows from the Lamb of God. There is a healing touch that flows from the Lamb of God. There is power in that touch. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. What was his response? And he was so kind. He was so willing, always ready and willing to help those who sought it. He was so kind. He wasn't upset with her, you know, that she reached out and touched him. In fact, he was very pleased with her. So pleased, in fact, that he called her something very special. And he said unto her, "Daughter." He called her daughter. Jesus Christ called this woman his daughter. And there is nothing better than being a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ. "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." And you know what? This woman was healed, and so was Jairus' daughter. By the time Jesus got there, she had passed. But she wasn't really gone. In fact, Jesus told everyone there, "She's sleeping." And they all laughed. But Jesus took his disciples in there, his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, and the parents of that child, and he lifted her up from the dead, because that is what our God is able to do. You see, when you're in the present with the Lord, present in the presence of the Lord, that's when you can not only feel his touch, but you can receive his miracles. So many people are oblivious to the fact that the Lord is even here. There are people walking around all over the place who do not perceive his presence. In fact, let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we're going to begin with verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now this is the correct translation of this verse. The Jehovah's Witnesses did not get it right. In their version it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." No, Jesus Christ is God. And we know that it's talking about Jesus Christ here because it's further on in this chapter it's going to tell us that very thing. Let's see what happens here. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Yes, Jesus Christ is the creator. The scriptures tell us that in multiple places. He is the creator of this universe. Nothing was made without him. All things were made by him and for him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He had a special job to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus, so that people's hearts would be turned toward God, and they would be ready to receive the Messiah. But sadly, not everyone did. In fact, the majority did not. Verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the world, generally speaking today, still doesn't know him. But we do. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came, there he was, God Almighty, God manifested in the flesh, wearing that human body. He came among his people. He came in a form that people could understand. He came as the mediator between God and man, the go-between, so that we might receive salvation on the cross of Calvary. But people all around him were oblivious. They knew he was a miracle worker. They knew he was a great speaker. They knew he was a prophet. But to some, that's all he was. To those select few who had been given the spirit of discernment, they understood that this was the Messiah, the one they had waited for, the one who was promised. You see, there were people walking around all over the place without realizing that the Lord was in that place. They knew it not. But some people did have that understanding. Some people did have that comprehension. In fact, it tells us in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Praise the Lord. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe on his name, if you receive him, he will make you his child. I know it says sons of God, but the Bible is written in a masculine gender that applies to women too. You can be the son or the daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank God there were those who had that perception, who were with him in that present moment, at that present time, so that they could perceive the presence of the Lord. Yes, we need to make sure we spend time in the present with the Lord. It's good to pray. And of course, it's good to sing. It's good to study the Word of God. When you're doing those things, try not to think about what you're going to do later. Instead, enjoy the moment, being in his presence, because we are his children. I want to go to one final place in Scripture before we close. Psalm 100. It's a very, very short psalm, so this won't take very long. Praise the Lord. Psalm 100. Of course, if we did Psalm 119, we'd be here all day. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse 1 tells us, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You see that? Come before his presence. Be with him in the moment. Worship him in the moment. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So get in the presence of the Lord. Spend time with him. Don't let the past drag you back, and don't let the future strain your mind and fill you with anxiety, but rather take the time to be present in the presence of the Lord, because you have to be if you're really, truly going to worship him. Let's close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy goodness and for thy mercy. We thank thee, Lord, for all that thou hast done. We thank thee that we can put our trust in thee, that we can be with thee in the present time, that we can have our moments with thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would help each and every one of us to stay firmly focused on thee as we go forward. Help us, O God, to spend time with thee each and every day. We ask, Lord, that this world would not drag us down, but we pray, Lord, that we'd all be strengthened with might from above so that we may seek thee and praise thee each and every day. Bless thy people, those who are here in this building and those who are listening online, all thy people throughout this world. We ask, O God, that thou would strengthen thy people and bless them and help us to walk with thee for the entirety of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. And we have a request from Brian and Vicky, number 112 in the Melodies of Praise hymnal. And it actually seems quite appropriate considering the message we just had. 112, I know who holds tomorrow. Number 112.
Thank you.
about tomorrow. I don't seem to understand.
Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.